So yeah. Take it from here.
And I want you to know that if it's a hard question, if it's like, oh, this is so embarrassing, it's okay. I'm not scared of questions. If I don't know, I will tell you. And we will find an answer, I say, or we'll find some resource or something. I don't know it all. I'm still navigating a lot of this. I'll just give you whatever I can. I'll try my best. And then with some of these, you know, I may not know the whole story with it. So if I don't answer to what you're like, that's not what I was looking for, you can reach out to me. And I can give you all my email, my phone number, whatever you need. You guys can reach out to me on a personal level, even if you don't want to ask anything in here. It's fine. So please, we're going to go. I guess we'll just, let's see. Can you hear me? Am I loud? I'm low. I know. But I also talk very quietly. So here we go. What is the best way to support your spouse and understand what he's going through when he never wants to talk about his day? Ugh. Okay. So remember I talked about how he would share everything and then he didn't. Honestly, you know, with me, I noticed he started sharing more after I became a chaplain. I don't know why. And I don't know, it's because maybe, I think what's happening is a lot of times they feel we don't understand. They may tell you, you know, well, those are my guys, or those are, you know, even the female officers, those are my people, that's my village, and they know what I'm going through. You don't. A lot of men in multiple conferences and retreats have come up to me brokenhearted, and you know what the number one reason is why they won't share with their spouse? Is because they don't want them to worry. And what is the one thing we do? We worry. And then we wonder why. It's because we worry and they don't want us to worry. I remember I was approached by this man and he was crying and he lost his wife to divorce. He said, this was 13 years ago. I just wish I had known. I wish I had shared with her the things that I went through. But what I have found, what I'm going to help you with here, is there will be times where you ask, how are you? And he's probably like, it was a good day. It was fine. I'm fine. Which is the normal. But there's going to be times where out of nowhere, which has happened to me at dinner, or it's happened to me while we're watching Wheel of Fortune or something, where he just, you know, this guy did it. And that's your cue to just stop everything you're doing and listen. He's also going to pay attention how you listen. Because if you're listening, he doesn't want you to give him any answers. He doesn't want you to fix it. We can't do that. It's just a matter of listening. You remember I was talking about how you can listen and you can be that helping hand and you can, without words, what he just talked about, St. Francis of Assisi, you live it. You're sacrificial. You could ask direct questions, but let me tell you something. When he gets home from work, I followed him with the infant in my arms. How was your day? So did you catch anybody? What did you do? Did you have any rest? That's really difficult. And a lot of wives don't like to hear this. They need to decompress. They really do. Did you know that hypervigilance takes 24 hours to come down from? Did you know this? They don't get 24 hours. And then you wonder why they're on the magic chair with the remote and they're quiet because they're trying to, their brain shuts down. If you were to see that much trauma moment after moment after moment, that's really difficult to come home and say, hey, this happened. But if you can get a good moment, when you be intentional about dates, date night. When we were little, we used to get pizza and just go into our bedroom and lock the door. That was our date night while the kids were asleep. He would put a candle on or we'd watch a movie. You know, sodas, whatever it may be, just to have that time. Because when it's just the two of you, and I'm saying no phones, please, no phones. That's very important because it's rude. It really is. You got to be with them and listen to them. And, you know, have their heart must trust in yours. I'm not saying it doesn't if they don't share it, but just know the questions to ask. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, so what have you enjoyed about work lately? They may ask that one. What's something that irritated you this week? They may bring it up. It's just different ways like that. Maybe they're not vocal. Maybe you need to write a note and leave them. Maybe you need to write a letter to them and let them read it. Because that will help sometimes. So just find those questions that are not direct. Okay, so what did you go through? What did you get on that call? roundabout questions where you can pull it out. So what did you love about this week? What did you love about today? What was great about today? Or just say, you know what I loved about today? I did this. How about you? That way you pull it from yourself, and maybe he'll open up to that. But don't be hurt if he's not sharing right now. Remember what I said. There's always a mode. There's always a reason. Don't assume. Don't ever assume, well, he just doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't love me. That's not true. Half the time, he just wants to protect your heart. And especially right now, a lot of the guys are shutting down and the girls are shutting down because they already know we have enough to deal with CNN and Facebook and, you know, police wife pages. We all know how, you know, it's just constant overload. So they don't want you to worry. That's usually the main thing I hear is I don't want my spouse to worry. What can you do to help your spouse with his negative outlook on life based on what he has seen on the job? That hurts. That hurts so bad. It really boils down to home, guys. It really does. I know, you know, it's not just because you're a spouse and, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, Miss Mama Homemaker at home and stuff like that. But do it for yourself, too. You got to draw a line with a thin blue line in your home. It's okay to have your blue flags and your pictures and your Hobby Lobby statues. And it's okay to have, there's nothing wrong with having pride in what we do, but there just has to be a line somewhere. We have to be, like I said, my mentor, my Lisa Lerner, she's always said, you got to take him from his last name to his first name. And we have to be intentional with that. So when you do that and you create that atmosphere, it will allow him to see that life is more than just what he's seeing out there. There is good. It's like I said, the heavenly substation. It's a substation away from the substation. It's a heavenly place to remind him of the good things. And you have to be intentional about doing that. You have to be intentional about, you know, did you hear about this? You know, when we're seeing all these negative things on social media and then I'll see somebody say, it's so nice to see something cheerful for once. You be that. You be the light. You be the hope. And I know, and then you find somebody who will be that for you. Because as you pour and as you give, you're going to need somebody doing that for you and pouring into you. Maybe, like I said, leave him notes. Tell him, guess what happened today? But at the same time, remind him about what the purpose is of him going out there. I'm so proud of you for going out there because these people need you. What would we do? I know you're seeing that they hate you, but I appreciate you. Did you see this post the other day that these people were giving delivery bags? I am always doing that with mine too. I am very grateful in San Antonio that it's a very pro-police city. We've had some officers face some spitting and things thrown, but my husband has had nothing but beautiful things happen to him. But even though I tell him, gosh, and did you see the rally that happened downtown for reporting you? Oh, honey, this officer, you know, got his lunch paid for, and they paid, like, they left it at the restaurant because they paid for a whole week of food. Did you hear that? Oh, you know, someone told me, like, just constant good things, because it can get wearisome. Because, you know, when we get the negative, you got to cover it with a multitude of love for the bad that you're going to get. So just try to shift the perspective, shift the focus, however you can. That's that. Are we okay with that? Did I answer anything else? And stop me, please. This is comfy. We're comfortable. I struggle with getting my boys to listen to me when my husband is working. Oh, child, I get you. I seek him for help and support when he is dealing with work issues. And I should be helping him. Bless you. I want to control the home so he has a peaceful home to come to, not more stress. I'm trying to put the Lord's strength first and not putting that stress on my spouse. Any advice? Bless your heart. I'm going to tell you something. I get it. A peaceful home isn't going to be in what you can do physically for it. It's not going to be, it's going to be in the vacuuming and the clean dishes and the laundry and all that beautiful stuff, but it really boils down to is you. It's going to boil down to you. I remember one time, actually not one time, this is very recent, this is probably like about 5 months, 5 or 6 months ago, I don't even remember. I try my best to forget anything we argue about. We got into a little bicker, like a little bicker thing. I forgot. He made a brave comment. And I remember it was a comment, and I was really hurt and really mad and offended, and I was ready to point out his downfall, you know, his pitfall too. I was like, well, pfft. But I went downstairs, and I was like, he needs a sandwich. I always make his sandwiches for lunch or his lunch. So I went upstairs like, what do you want for lunch? Nothing. I'll just get myself something. I was like, what do you want for lunch? I have to make you lunch. He was not with you like that. And I thought, man, that hurt. And why? Because when I made his lunch, I would get creative because I didn't want him to do the same things because I love him. And because I had the time to. I wanted to make something creative, but I realized I wasn't doing it in. He's like, I don't like that. I don't want you to make it. And the house was clean, by the way. And my kids were on top of school doing fine. But the disrest and the unpeaceful was in my attitude and his remark that I don't know. It was, we did that. We created that and we allowed that. So don't get caught, whoever you are, don't get so caught up in the physical things. It's always going to stem from the internal stuff. If you can establish yourself in the internal, you will have peace in your home. What do they say? Mama ain't happy, nobody is. It's true. We really have that power. What is it, my big fat Greek wedding? When she is like, the man is the head and the woman is the neck, and she can turn that head wherever she wants. Amen. Yes, isn't it true? It's so true, but it's so true. You know, it is so true. And as far, you know, so don't get caught up in that. Now, as far as the littles go, don't feel bad about asking him for help. He is their father. Now, I talk about the decompression. Yes, he does need that time, because if you have him step up when he gets home, he's going to talk to them like they're gangsters off the street. I've experienced that. I'm like, dude, we ain't criminals. This is your son. You want to meet him? Joey. This is Joey. This is Mighty. He looks at me like, but it's true, because they do that, and they don't mean to. They're still in that mindset. It's kind of like saying, hey, the toilet's broken the minute you walk in the door after you just, you know, bless his heart, seen a baby or, you know, dealt with somebody that was beat or had to give a death notification. You're focused so much there. So once he's decompressed, which I usually allow 2 hours, and I say allow because he could go the whole night. So what I have found also with the kids is that even with the kids and with groceries and things that cooking, whatever it may be, it doesn't have to be, I need you to do dinner, I need you to do this. That's a lot. That's a lot for any human. We all, you know, what's the matter? Oh, I thought you were calling me. I was like, what's wrong? What did I do? Okay. I was like, I'm sorry. I thought you were calling me. I was like, what's up? What was I? Oh.
2 hours.
2 hours. One time, it was like an hour into his decompressing, and I'm going to run to the store to get stuff for dinner. I came back, and you know how that goes when you go just for a few things, you end up with a basket. So I opened the car, got all my groceries, and then I'm walking and I'm like, and throwing things because he's just sitting on the recliner, just sitting there. And I'm like, dude, do not see that I have all these. And I was getting like slamming cabinets. Well, and are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. I still have more groceries, but I'm fine. It's like, okay. So then I was like, gosh, you know, like really, you know, and he's like, you seem mad. I'm like, well, because, like, I have a lot of groceries. You're just sitting there, like, watching your TV. Must be nice to be you, I told him. And I was cranky because it's like I said, Texas is hot. It's like, that day was like armpits of Satan. That was, like, humid. I was drenched. It was horrible. And then he was like, well, I'm sorry. And he really felt bad, genuinely. He goes, I am so sorry, but you always tell me that you got it. Or you always tell me you're okay. And I see that you have it. So that's why I just rather stay out of your way so I don't get in the way. Ooh, I was doing it to myself because I can't ask for help. They can't read our minds, poor men. They cannot, ladies. Right? We can't. You can't read our mind? Oh, he's all, amen. You can't. And so it's not fair. It's really not fair. You know, so I said, you know, I'm sorry. Can you go get the milk? Like, can you go? He's like, yeah. He goes, sure. You're like, sure. But from that point on, I also noticed my children and I in one room and then he's in another. If I go upstairs, they go upstairs, and he's downstairs. If I go downstairs and he's upstairs, I'm like, okay, this is not good. Let's go back with your father. So what I have started to do is to, even though I don't need his help, I have started to get more intentional about asking for help. Love, are you busy? Because I know he's not, and he's on the recliner. So after those 2 hours, I start to bring him into the family again. He's like, no, could you cut the tomato? And I was like, you're so nuts. Spank him on the butt or something, you know. Just to keep that joy and the flirting and all that beauty that goes into cutting a tomato and just get that done. You know, with the baby, you just, you know, like you have the baby and say, you know what, love, I'm going to just go take a shower. Who's your baby? And you know, I would put him in his, you know, put the baby in his hands and he would just like, you know. And it's not that I was like, you need to help. It was more, here, hon, like, you know, it was just a subtle way, trying to bring them back in, bring not Officer Uribe back in, but Joe. I need Joe back, you know, and just kind of bringing him back. Because if you don't, then they're going to stay there. So we have to be intentional about including them. Now with the children, don't ever say, wait till your dad gets home, because you're just undermining yourself. Don't give them consequences. Don't count to three, because the officers don't count to three when you grow up. When I say you do it now. I remember, I always tell my kids, I'm going to go Medea on you in 2 seconds, child. Like, you know, because you know who Medea is? Oh, man, Medea, she rough. I always tell them, and they'll tell you, my mom goes Medea on us, and I will, because I love them. But I always tell them, you know, like, well, Dad, I go, what is the difference between your father and me? Like, have the same respect, and they do. But there's times like, hi, Mom. I'm like, no, I'm being serious. Go do it now. I told you to do it now. It's being assertive. And I know some kids, it's really hard for them to do that. I mean, it's hard for some kids. Some kids aren't just like, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, have the consequences. Train them up. You know, maybe if he's trying to rest or something. Okay, Dad's going to take a nap. Mom's going to, we're going to go do this, you know, and it's a downtime. Schedule that around that time so he can be an effective parent. That way he can function as a parent. And, you know, there's times, like, especially because I have teenagers now, and even when they were little, I knew he couldn't deal with what we just dealt with, or I just heard from my son, or he's dealing with this or dealing with that. So I would wait until me and him are together, which we like to, that's the other thing, sit down with him, even if it's watching DIY, I don't like those shows, sorry, if it's watching DIY, if it's watching wrestling or football and you don't like it, sit there just for a little bit, put your leg over his. I like to do that with him, and even though I'm bored, and I'll just sit there and watch the TV, and he likes that, because if I leave, he's like, he goes, where are you going, sir? I was like, he likes that because I'm not having to talk to him, connecting with him. Then when the wall comes down, I'm like, oh, honey. He's like, well, I'm like, guess what Joey told me? He's like, what? And I'll tell him, it's like, okay, I need you to talk to him about it. Okay. And I do have to remind him about it later. I'll be, did you talk to Joe? He's like, no. I was like, okay, I need you to, like, you know, here, go, like, go take him to eat or go get an ice cream or go do something. And he'll do that. But you have to be intentional about setting that up. There was one time also, the reason I'm saying this is because if they're hesitant with parenting, you want to ask, you're going to have to wonder why. Because there was a time my husband wouldn't talk or discipline, but I didn't realize it's because his mom had not raised him as grounded. She was very overbearing with him in a sense that he was insecure about parenting. So it wasn't that he didn't want to parent. I could have easily gotten angry at him, but there's always some reason behind. Don't always assume it's just they don't want to do it. There's always a reason because we're all human. Some stuff that stems from childhood or stuff that stems from work could keep that from happening. But if you can get a routine, and I'm not an organized person, I'm just going to let you know that so it can be done. You can find a way to do that. You can find a way to help your children understand. That book, Daddy, I Worry About, and it's good to have those conversations too with the kids, you know, and help do that, but start to include him. And if I did not answer your question right, please let me know because I want to. At what age is it and how to talk about the dangers of being police to the children? Okay. That's going to depend on your child. There is a really great lady in San Antonio that every time we either had a fireman down or a police officer down, her kids were not even, gosh, one of them was in kindergarten, the other one was little. What I loved about her, she's always on the news and she's always on the newspaper. Nobody ever interviews her though. It's really funny. But they always capture on camera, and they always capture her picture. She was simple. She, when something would happen, she would get a poster board. She would get crowns. she would say, we're going to go, and she used the word honor. She would tell me, I used the word honor. Actually, her husband is my husband's sergeant. And she would put, thank you for your service, and have them color on it. Then she would say, what do we want to get daddy's friend? I want to get a balloon. I want to get, you know, that was too cute. So they'd take balloons, a stuffed animal, whatever the child picked, and they would go and they would get on their knees and she would pray with them there in front of the headquarters. What I loved about that is that she's inviting them into what's happening, but she's not showing them the fear and the scary part. She's saying when we lose somebody, we honor them. It's just going to be according to their heart. Every child in this room is different. Every parenting style in this room is different. Every faith background in this room is different. And you have to do what's best for them. Listen to their heart. Teenagers break my heart. Teenagers truly break my heart. My son breaks my heart sometimes. But I have to remind them. You know, because like one lady, she's not a lady, she's a kid. She was like 16, and I asked her, what's the good part about being? She says, well, I just love my dad being a cop, but what's the bad stuff? She says, people don't want to be my friend. And that hurt me. And just like the thick skin we have to have those conversations. Hey, I love you. Can I just sit and talk to you for a minute? Take them for ice cream, your teenagers. Take them for ice cream. Take them for Starbucks. Take them for something that they love, a burger. Take them to Olive Garden. Have a date tonight with just them. Just say, I just want to touch base with you, man. How are you doing? If they have social media, how's it going? What are you seeing? How's it making you feel right now? Like, are you okay? And they may not, but if they don't talk to you, that's okay, because they at least know, wow, mom is asking. Dad is asking. You know, maybe I should tell them. Maybe I could talk to them. Maybe I could write like your daughter did. Different things like just how they're feeling. Now, the littles, I think Sammy. Sammy must have been about 10 years old when he was like, mom, dad, mom, daddy. When that basketball thing happened. And I didn't even know he knew. So I say that to say they know more than you think. But we're not having the conversations. And so we need to kind of semi-find out what they know. Be wise in what you share. But like I said, you have to know their heart to know what you can share, what they can handle. One thing, my son actually travels and speaks with me sometimes. And they asked him that. And I remember him saying, I don't like when I would keep things from him. Because once, I think he was like 14 or 15 at the time. He was 14. He said, I hate that dad's a cop. I hate it. And he was crying. I was like, why, baby? He's like, I just hate it. Like, what if he doesn't come home? What if this? What if that? But I didn't even know he felt this way. Because all I knew was the little boy that grew up with Dollar Tree guns and handcuffs and was pretending to be him, that everything was fine and great. The thing is, I don't know when that shift happens. So you just have to really pay attention to your children and find out. And my dad always said this, they will respond how you respond. He works for the food bank in San Antonio, Texas. So he goes into homes and he talks with, you know, people that are about to lose their job, people that are struggling. He says, you always know the parents that are confident, that have their faith dug in. They know they're going to be okay, to the parents that are falling apart. The parents that are falling apart, he goes, the kids are in a corner sitting there. They look like they want to cry and they're just kind of quiet. He says, the ones that are confident, thanking them for the food. Hey, kids, look at this. We got this. He goes, those are the kids that are running around and laughing. They respond how you respond. You're not going to be perfect at it either. There have been times, like when the Dallas officers were shot, that was probably the first night I ever just like, my phone was going crazy. My ministry page was getting shot up, and for the first time I had nothing. I was crying myself. I didn't even want my husband to go to work the next day. That's how bad it was. And my kids saw me cry. And my son looked at me and I was like, it's okay. I said, let's just sit here and cry together, because it's just cry. We should cry. This is sad. But we're going to be okay. So it's just kind of finding that balance. It's okay to let your kids see you, you know, worry. It's okay to let them see you cry. It's okay to share those things, but don't stay there. Show them that there can be hope. We can move forward. How are we going to get out of this fear? How are we going to get out of this sadness? How are we going to, you know, get out of our thinking that everything's going to go wrong and worry? No. Move them forward with that. Let them see that in you so they move forward and they know how to navigate it. So I'm sorry, but yeah, you're going to have to find what works, because you know your children better than anybody else, and I do too. Just listen to their heart, and they're all going to be different. They really are. They're going to be so different. Wrong.
Yeah.
My son is a police officer. When I know he and his wife are struggling, how can I help without seeming like I'm taking sides? Oh, my mom heart. All right, what can I do to support her, their marriage? Oh, okay. I'm not there yet. I hope to be like the greatest mother-in-law in the history of ever. But I don't know the whole situation. And you need... Okay, so speaking with couples, sometimes I talk to the officer and the spouse, and they're not on the same team at the moment. And that can be the same situation here. Get your emotion out of that's my baby. Because this is the woman that has chosen to do life with him, and she is sacrificing just as much as he is. And your baby boy is not perfect either, even though I know we want to think this. So if you remove that out of the situation, you can better listen to both sides. There's two sides to every story. Two sides. So do your best to not down or degrade or put down the other. Don't put her down to him, and don't put him down to her. Listen and be that level head, that level-headed. Now, if they're struggling and you kind of found out and they didn't tell you you're struggling, they may know that you know if you reach out by chance, you know. But just, how are you doing? Invite her for coffee. Hey, son. If they let you stop by, I don't know if they let you stop by their house. I don't know how everybody's so different with that. My parents and my in-laws drop by all the time. My door is open. I don't care. But, you know, if you have that opportunity, maybe be intentional about making a visit. And don't say, I don't want to pry, because we do. You're lying if you say that, because you want to pry. You're like, I don't want to pry, but you do want to pry. You want to know, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? No, Mom, I'm fine. Or she's going to be, no, it's okay. But be neutral. Please be neutral. That way that you can better help them. You can, you could get books and stuff, but you don't want to be overbearing either and send her like a whole Amazon book. Read this, you know, how to be a better wife. Or, you know, you don't want to do stuff like that, but... doing like, I read this blog. Yeah, that's a little like confrontational without the confrontation. It's a little harsh and not nice. But, you know, you got to find, the thing is, like I said, I don't know the whole story, so I don't even know if they know you know. But sometimes, as hard as this is, sometimes we just need to let them figure it out. Trust that you raised them right, that you put values and instilled them, and if you have faith, get on your knees. Get on your knees and you pray for them. Pray for people to come into their life that will help them and to build them up. Encourage them, not in the fight, but encourage them in their character. You know what I love about you, son? You take pride in what you do. I love how you take pride in your marriage. I let, you know, build up, and they're like, I do? Oh, I do. And then they get this, like, big head, like, I do. And they're going to want to do that. Kind of like the wife. You know, it's your daughter-in-law. Some mother-in-laws don't like theirs. Mine hated me for 5 years, literally for 5 years. I love her to death. She loves me now. But be intentional about that, too. You know what I love about you, so-and-so? I love how you do this for him. Ah. Okay, you know, and she's going to want to do it again. It's kind of like kids. And they are your kids, you know, just reinforce the good, the bring out the good. If it's severe, then maybe you need to, you know, I love you guys too much to allow you to be going through this. Can we sit and talk? And if not, can, you know, what can we do? Because I want to help you. It's hurting my heart to see you suffering like that. If she's open, if the wife is open to it, then maybe put a book. Like I said, send her a book. Send her daily encouragement. Every day, if it's your son that's willing to help and she's not, send him stuff. And maybe it's not books, because we don't have time to read sometimes nowadays. But like I said, maybe it's just an encouragement. The Love Dare is a great book and a great resource. I love that book. Love and Respect is a great book. Vicki Newman has a really good book. What's the name of the conference? Tactical Marriage Somethings. Marriage in Progress.
That's actually out of the two, my favorite.
Marriage in Progress. Yeah. If it's, you know, whatever the struggle may be, there's also, it's not supposed to be this way, by Lisa Turkhurst. That's a really good marriage book. Those are the ones that are coming to my head right now. If, yes.
The emotional
survival.
For law enforcement.
There you go.
Family.
Thank you. I can't believe I forgot that. That's like the key here. Yes, emotional survival is a very good one. Very good book. And then you got your, you know, like I said, if they're in their faith, then you can do the Power of a Praying Wife, Power of a Praying Husband. And you've got so many Police Wife devotionals. Now you've got Emma and Grace. She wrote hers. I know Christy Neese has some great Bible studies and books. You've got Vicki Newman who writes. You've got Rebecca Lynn from Proud Police Wife. She's got some good stuff. She's coming out with something else too. And you got me, but yes, by Leah Everly. I love Leah. Yes, all these great ladies. I'm so proud of them. And that's the other thing. Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to encourage you in this room. You know, like every single one of us has something to offer. If you like, I know I should be writing this book, but I don't want to. You need to write the book. I want to start this organization, but no, it's not the time. I don't know how. Start the organization. Nobody knows how. Just build it. Ministry, build it. Blog, build it. Do what you have to do to reach people. But that's all I got. Anybody have anything else?
Can I say something with that last one?
Yes, please.
Just because I went through a situation with my husband. We almost got divorced, and I married my husband for my mother-in-law. Like, I tell him all the time, I love your mom. That's why I married you. I didn't marry you for you. I love your mom. During this time, prior, he had an affair, you know, whatever. A lot of police wives go through this, so I feel like it's okay to say. Leading up to it, it's like he prepped her to hate me. Talking, you know, negative. Mm-hmm. And when it initially happened, you know, we didn't talk. So if she would have reached out and been like, hey, I still care about you, she didn't. So that really, our relationship, we're getting better now, but she's told him, and I found out through him, that she felt, and she kind of yelled at him, she felt manipulated because, you know, he painted me out to be this horrible wife, you know. So that way when everything came out, and then, so eventually I had enough and packed the kids up and everything, and that's when she told him, which was probably the best thing she ever did, you need to shit or get off the pot. You know, she's done. She's had enough of your games. She's done. So quit or don't quit, but you have to make a decision. And that's probably one of the things that helped our marriage is the fact that kind of coddled him initially, but then she's like, hey, get your shit straight.
Yeah.
You know? And she told him, I'll always love you, but you need to, you know. So, and like her and I have never even still now talked about it really. But if that, I kind of feel like that's maybe a similar situation. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at all. But like, just tell her that you're still there for her, you know,
yeah.
Not just, and I mean, maybe it's the other way, maybe she's
that's true.
Doing her thing, but I feel like that's like a huge thing that would have been nice.
Yeah, because it's not always just the mother-in-law. Sometimes it's the daughter-in-law.
I can live without my husband. It was hard losing my mother.
I love that. No, and that's so true. But, you know, like as mothers, we have to, that's another daughter or son you're gaining. I mean, that you have to see it that way and know that they're not perfect. And you have to, like I said, listen to both sides. It's not just one. And, you know, we should know when our children are manipulating us, you know, especially as adults. But also, I love what you said. But, like, even with mine, she did not like me for 5 years. I remember I found God. And when I found God, I wanted to make things right with her. And she's, I told her, I'm so sorry. I was trying to get things right with God. She's like, you should be sorry. Well, okay then. Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to be Christian, but okay. Yes, and that was really hard. And I was like, I was getting mad. I wanted to go home and tell my husband, you're mom. But you know what? I never told him. I never said a word. Never said a word. I actually told him about a year ago. I was like, you know, one time I went to my, he was like, what? You didn't tell me? I was like, no, he didn't need to know that. But I'm telling you now because she's so cute. She gives the kids money. She gives me money. She'll give them like $5 and me $5. I'm like, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to go to Target Dollaria. Yeah. But she treats me like her daughter. And she's even told me you're more of a daughter to me than my daughters. Recording. Yeah, but she's just like that. Yeah, and I get that relationship is special. I mean, she, like I said, after that, it was about another 8 months or so, and then one day, she doesn't speak English, by the way, and I don't really speak good Spanish, so we Spanglish each other a little bit. Like, she understands, like, what I'm trying to say. I'll make up my own Spanish words, and she gets it. She laughs a lot. But her peace offering, instead of saying sorry to me, she calls me Estrellita, which is little star. She's always called me that. And I asked her one time on the road, like, why do you call me that? She goes, my son always focused on you. You were the star he focused on. That's why she calls me little star. So I was like, okay. Well, then one day she was like, Estrellita. And I was like, oh, she's going to criticize me. Because she would criticize everything I did. And then she was like, I was like, oh, here we go. Jesus help. I went over to her and she just gave me a Snickers bar. And she said in the most broken, beautiful English I ever heard, she said, I love you. And I told her, I love you too. I started crying and I hugged her and my husband was like, what is going on? Yeah, because he always knew there was like tension there. And I was like, I knew the day would come. I just had to, you know, fight to be kind even when she was ugly. It was really hard. I wanted to be so ugly, Mac. And there was times I was really ugly with her. So yeah, we were ugly. Yes, ma'am. That's it, five. Oh, anybody else? We have 5 whole minutes.
I'd like to comment on the negativity question. So my husband is super negative, and I struggled with this for a long time. until last year I came here, and I asked the question, what do I do? And basically the answer was like, nothing. There's nothing you can do. Like, he's going to be cynical. He's going to be there. He sees all this shit every day, you know? So what I did was accept it. And then I started, like, just like balancing out the positive, like you were saying. You know, he'd be like, well, you know, I saw somebody get shot today. I'm like, somebody got baptized today. You know?
I love that.
But like, once I accept it, and I'll sit there and I'll bitch with him too, and I'm like, that sucks, that's stupid. And here's the good things that happen. Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Linda, and then we'll go to Miss.
There's just one thing I wanted to comment on, and that is that if your husband has not been involved in some kind of high-profile critical incident as of yet, especially in this climate, he probably will be, and you need to protect him and protect your kids from that, because kids are cruel to kids, and that's why if there's a cop church in your area, and you can go take your kids to cop church, and they have other cop kids to get together with. That's a safe place for them. Mm-hmm. But the media will try to hound you, and they will, people, even your friends, tend to forget that behind every one of those police badges lives a family. Mm-hmm. And so you have to gently remind them there's a family that lives behind this badge. It's not just our officer. It's us. And we're not a news story. We're family. And so I would just caution you, especially in this climate, be very protective of your home, of your officer, and your children. Just protect them.
Yes. Beautiful, Miss Linda. I knew you were next, though.
To what you were saying about the negativity thing. So I used to get the work with the field, the criminal justice information officer. So it's easy for us both to be like, yeah, life's awesome. But I started to remind myself that we can't live that way. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I do with him is like, I'll let him complain or whatever. And I share this with a lot of the wives in our department, that we deal with 1% of the community. That's it. Like, we have frequent flyers for a reason. So I have to remember my department has 3,500 people, somewhere between that and 5,000 people on probation. That's nothing compared to 250,000 people that Fort Wayne has or more. And so, like, we have to remind each other of that. And sometimes it's hard as a wife, aside from being a PO, as a wife, when people are hating on my husband, then my, if he's done gone, not come back. Like, it's hard for me not to hate others at times. It's a big word, but, you know. So I have to remind myself that most people, while they might not say it, they love our husbands. They love what they do, and they're there to protect them because they don't have the guts to do what they do. But, you know, that 1% should not change the way you view the world.
Yeah.
And so when I remind him of that, I think he gets too bitchy, and I'm all like, 1%, dude. He's like, you're right, 1%. And then we just kind of move on, you know? So then, like, so I think that's, you find words for you, for your marriage. But I think that's one of the things that work for us.
Definitely. Not the whole world does not hate them. We need to get that out of our head, too, and remind them of that.
So one thing I wanted to touch on back about the kids and stuff like that, where, like, I was the wife that when my husband came home, I let him sit in the chair, which we have a magic chair that is literally falling apart. But and I made all the decisions for the kids. I made sure school, food, everything was done. But he wanted to be part of that, and it took me, I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and it took me many, many years, many, many struggles to realize, you know, my husband wants to be part of that. So now I gladly let him cook dinner, plan the stuff, signing the little slips that need to go back to school. That was a huge thing because that involves him in the children's lives. And, you know, I let him go do field trips too. And my daughter has parent shadow day at school, and, you know, she wanted her dad to go. And it's just those little things that you involve them. I always thought, well, I'm helping him by not giving him the stress, but he wants to be part of that because it makes him feel like he's contributing to the family.
Yeah.
Where I thought I was helping it.
No, because men need to be needed. They want to be needed. If they're not needed, then why go home?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then I want you just to finish up. You had written several years ago, about a time when you were crying and struggling, and your husband said, "What's wrong?" And you didn't want to share because you were the strong pillar in the marriage. But it occurred to you that you need to let him help you as well.
Yes.
So as we close, would you just share a little bit about how, we can be strong women, we can be courageous, but it's okay to lean on our partners and use them to build us up too. It's not us doing all this for them.
Yeah.
No,
and that's so important. It's not like the sometimes I don't like the term I'm single parenting, police wifing and single parenting. You're not. You are if you don't include him, but like you were intentional about doing that. And I think sometimes we like to take control, and we need to release that. We really do. We need to include them. We need to find a way. And if they don't want to, they still need to, because they're not just officer. They're a husband, they're a father, they're a son. And so, like, with that day that she was talking about, I was like, oh, and then I really, you know, because he had a rough time, too. And I just started crying. I said, you know, honestly, just this. And he was, like, gave me a hug. He was holding me. And that felt so good. And I realized we're in this marriage together. It's not just one-sided. I said I do. He said I do. Better or worse, here we go. And it's okay. And you need to be able to do that with them strategically. Remember, when he gets home, is not the time, like, I really got to talk to you about how I feel right now. I mean, it's just, you know, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. Because I remember when my boys were little and he got home, I was like, and he's like, go shopping. I'm like, okay. And I got the card and I went out and I went and bought me some clothes. But you have to express that to them. They should listen to you, just like you should listen to them. And I feel the need to say this. If you ask them to help you with the dishes, make the bed, do the laundry, do not criticize what he has done. He is doing his best, just like the kids. Get your OCD out the window because they are at least helping. If it bothers you that much, you can fix it, but don't let them know you did that because then they're not going to want to help you. Just criticizing their help. And that's not nice. We got to be kind. So don't do that. But also, please, be intentional about allowing yourself to be weak. Because in marriage, it's very rare that both are standing strong. You balance each other out. It's not just about what they're dealing with. It's not just about him, and I'm the strong police. No, it's about a marriage. It's about a union. It hurts you. You're one flesh. You're one person. You always wonder, why am I hurting when he is? Because you're one flesh. Why am I happy when he is? Because you're one flesh. You're one in unity. It's a marriage. It's not a make a deal partner. No, it's a marriage. And it's going to get ugly. And you want to be loved through all your faults and all your greatness, right? You want your weaknesses. You expect them to love you, right? Okay, same for them. They expect that in return. It's not really an expectation. It's what you chose for your life. You chose to say I do to this person. You chose to marry them and walk this life with them, the ugly and the good. You may not like everything. That's what I've told my husband before. I don't like you right now. I love you, but I don't like you right now. You're not one of my favorite people right now, but I love you. And sometimes you just have to. And if they don't want to listen, because I've been told they just don't listen, ask yourself how you're communicating. It's not in what you say, it's how you say it. You can say two different things in two different ways. One will either be offended or the other will be, what's wrong? It's just in how you say stuff. If you're upset and angry and then you need to wait before you approach him. Wait, just like you would expect him to do. I can't talk to you right now because you're angry. Okay, well, yeah, you're right, you can't. And I'm one of those types of people that I need to, like, if we're arguing, I want to deal with it now, my husband will walk away from me. And I've learned to be okay with that. Because it'd eat me up. And I go, you know what, you're right. You're right. Let's pull apart and take a break just for a second, and then we'll come back when we're better. Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am.
One last burning question. Would you say that it's common for police officers to be harder on their children, especially boys?
Them and pastors.
How do you balance that by still respecting them but wanting to defend your child if you feel like you're being too hard on them? It causes a big conflict in our home.
Okay. We've dealt with that. I never correct him in front of my children. If he was grabbing in their face, choking, okay, yes, I'm going to, yeah. But if he's not, okay. But wait a minute, you're going to be offended and you're going to be mad because that's your baby. Wait. Process. Is what he doing? Is this smart? Is this right? Where's his intention? What's his heart? Honey, can I talk to you? Remember what you said to him? Yeah. Say, what was the thought behind that? Like, why did you tell him that? Or why did you tell her that? And he'll probably be, oh, I did that, honey, because of this. And sometimes I've had to ask those questions before I start judging and getting mad at him. Because I'm like, oh. He's like, well, honey, he goes, I just dealt with this kid. I'm like, ah. He's scared. He's like, I just don't want that to happen. And so he's being extra rough. But there's times where I've told him I love you, but you did hurt his feelings, or you made him cry, or you know, I had to go and deal with that. I did, yeah. I was like, maybe you should apologize. And he'll go and say, and they have to be humble enough to go and say, son, you know what, I was wrong. But I'll never correct him in front of my children. Because then they're like, mom's against dad. And then they'll play the card. You have to be united at all times in parenting and work and everything, relationship, communication. Please don't allow that division in your house. That'll be very rough. But it's okay to bring it up when you're not upset and your mama bear claws are inside your little hooves. Because if you go to him when after it happened, you know, he's going to be defensive with what his action was, as opposed to coming in humility and being like, I love you, but it hurt me. And, it hurt me because I saw him, but, like, do you think this is right? Because this is kind of what I was thinking, like, talking. And there's some times where my husband will be like, you know what, no, I didn't even think about that. I'm sorry. Like, and he'll go apologize. But they don't know we have to talk. And it came from dad, not from me making dad apologize. Yeah, and I've had to learn that the hard way. Yeah, it's hard because you're such a cop to them sometimes, and it hurts, and you want to protect them, but those are his kids too. And you know, we all do and say things because we love them, and I'm talking about our kids. We love our children, you know. So we just have to trust, and they love them too. You're not the only one who loves them, you know. So, you know, just know that their heart's in the right place, but also the emotion of it. You don't know what they dealt with. I mean, I've had my husband come home, you know, why are you bouncing like that so hard, like the ball so hard? I'm like, dude had a bad day. Like, he comes in, I'm like, I hope your day gets better. You know, I hope your day gets better. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, but it's just kind of, you know, you have to realize that. And the older they get, they're not dumb. Have a conversation, you know, when he comes home like this, because my husband used to be short-fused until the Walmart incident. That was the last time I've ever seen him short-fused, was the Walmart incident. So, yeah, I mean, of course, yeah.